Let's pray, and then after prayer, if you could stay standing if you're able, and we'll join Shane on that first hymn here this morning. Let's pray. Father, it's a blessing to be here today. Lord, every Sunday is this blessing, I pray. I pray we love and look forward to the Lord's Day on Sunday. I pray there's an anticipation, Lord. I hope that anticipation begins on Saturday, Lord, toward the evening as it gets dark, knowing, wow, tomorrow's the Lord's Day. We can't wait to go to God's house on God's day and worship with brothers and sisters in Christ. I hope so-and-so is going to be there. I wonder if there'll be any visitors. Oh, Lord, we're praying there'll be some folks saved. I hope our boys and girls will be there for our classes. Lord, I hope that we look forward to Sundays to be able to encourage, to challenge one another in the Lord. Lord, to see friends, to worship you, to lift up our voices in song. Lord, to come expecting God to speak to us. So we would be different, Lord. And we would not just make it a routine or a habit or only on special days of the year. Lord, we're so grateful for the church in which we have here today. We're thankful for each one that's here, maybe those that are visiting, maybe those that have been here for many, many years. We thank you and praise you. Lord, I pray on this Mother's Day that we would be grateful for our mothers. Many have mothers that maybe have passed away, Lord. There may be in heaven. Lord, they may not have been a believer. They may not have known Christ. They did the best they could. Lord, there may have been some here today that weren't really raised by a mother. Could have been an aunt or a stepmother. Could have been a rougher childhood. But Lord, we're grateful that you designed motherhood. And we're certainly grateful, Lord, that if our mothers are still living and they know the Lord as Savior, that's a special blessing. I pray that we would encourage them and love them if we're able to today. Send a note, a card, a phone call. I know that would mean a lot. We're grateful, Lord, for each one that's here today, whether a mother or a father or a young person. And we pray we've come today to worship you. Lord, have your way in the service, Lord, I pray. Turn our hearts to you, Lord, to the Word of God. Lord, at the conclusion, as we turn our minds and hearts to the cross, to the tomb, Lord, to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I pray that, Lord, we would be right with you in right standing as a believer. And, Lord, if the greatest need today is for someone with us today or watching to trust Christ as Savior, oh, Lord, I pray they do that on this day. We thank you and praise you. May you be glorified now as we sing in Jesus' name. Amen. Stay standing. Grab that hymnal.
I know on this Mother's Day we're all thankful for our mothers because without them we would not be here. And we're going to take our hymn books this morning and turn to hymn number 95. And just before we sing, it being Mother's Day, consider, if you will, this scripture verse. Isaiah 49 and verse 15 says this: "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee." The Lord says, a mother, we can't imagine them forgetting that little child, but it is possible, but not with God. Well, we think of that as we think of this hymn, "No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus." Hymn number 95.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. Words of love, still I'll never so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me.
Amen. You may be seated. Love that song. Love the words of that song. Just before I move on, I want to mention again that chorus. Maybe you're here today, you're watching. You may hear the words of that song and you may say, you know, in your heart, if He cared for me, then why did this happen? If He cares for me, then why is this happening? If He cared for me, then how come, you know, we can do that? Yet let me remind you the words of that chorus. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. And maybe you're here today and this is your greatest need. No one else can take the sin and darkness from you. There's a lot of people today trying to take that sin and darkness. They think the bottle of alcohol can take it away. And then it comes back. Maybe drugs, something that can take it away temporarily. Busyness. A lot of people just stay busy because of the sin and darkness, the emptiness within. Many people just pour themselves into something and yet they're still very empty. No one else can take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared, how much He cares for me. There's that verse that Morris Gleiser preached on, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. If you're here today and your greatest need is to personally receive the Lord Jesus Christ, your greatest friend. You know that song, many of you know this, it's been shared from this pulpit before. That was written by Charles Weigel, a pastor, later an evangelist. Came home one day and his wife had left him. Left a note, said, "Charlie, I'm done, I'm out of here. I'm not into living this life for the Lord. It's not worth it. Bye." Never came back. Say, oh, that's a broken heart. How could that man ever recover? Some of you have been through things like that or similar. And yet the Lord met his greatest need. He wrote that after that. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. He didn't quit, by the way. He stayed. I don't believe he married again, but he just stayed faithful to the Lord, preaching and doing all that God can. No one ever cared for you like Jesus. I know our mothers, we think of our mothers or maybe a grandmother or maybe a mother figure. Number one thing we usually think about is their love. Oh, they're such a caring mom, a caring lady, a caring person that made a difference. No one ever cared, though, like the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust if you're here today, you trust Him if you've never done that.
Bethany, crown him Lord of all. We're going to take our hymn books, but just before we do, I'd have a quick announcement. We had, for revival services, we had something special for the teens if they were able to make it physically. For every service of the revival meetings, there was going to be a special reward. And so we have five teens that were able to make it to all six services. So that would have been Seth, Sydney, Emily, Eliel, and Sean. And so we're going to do this Wednesday. All those five, if we could meet here at 5 o'clock on Wednesday, we're going to go out and do something special. So on this coming Wednesday, all right? So make note, if you have ride issues or whatever, just contact us and we'll try to figure something out. But that's going to be 5 o'clock this Wednesday. So congratulations all those. We're going to take our hymn books now and let's turn to 513. Let's go ahead and stand one more time. 513 and sing, I Saw Jesus in You. 513.
When I enter heaven's glory and I see my Savior's face, I will offer him 10,000 tears of praise. Then I'll find that special one in whose life I saw God's Son, and through tears of joy with trembling lips his word, I'll say, I saw Jesus in you. I saw Jesus in you. I could hear his voice in the words you said. I saw Jesus in you.
Thank you.
It's a holy work you offer us. eternal, and your children from the Lord, are the heritage of heaven, his exceeding great reward. To your mission now be faithful, though with many or with few. Let the love of Christ constrain you to rejoice in all you do. Keeper of the home, keeper of the home, it's a holy work you offer up to him today. Keeper of the home, keeper of the home. Fix your eyes on the prize, the call of God obey. Keeper of the home, keeper of the home, it's a
Praise the Lord. We'll be looking at that a little bit here this morning. Thank you for that message and song. We're going to dismiss our children's church at this point. So any of our sixth grade young people and down, along with teachers and helpers, are dismissed at this time. Pray for them as they open the Word of God and teach our younger generation the things that God would have them to know. Some of you parents are praying for your young people. You know that they may not know Christ. You're praying, oh God, you've been talking to them about the Lord. You've been doing some family devotions about sin and the cross, and maybe they're asking questions. I hope you're praying for them. Say, oh Lord, today could be the day. I pray you'll empower that Sunday school teacher, that children's church teacher. Direct them, Lord, to be able to answer some questions, share the gospel. You may be able to follow up on the way home. And we're certainly praying for our young people to trust Christ at an early age when they understand the gospel and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, praise the Lord for that. Thank you again, each one, for being here today. It's a privilege to stand and open the Word of God here this morning. I won't have you open anywhere specific quite yet, but many of you are familiar. I don't believe, since I've been here, that I preached out of Proverbs 31. We will look at that a little more depth today, but we won't start there. Many of you are familiar with Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. We'll be looking at that theme a little bit. We won't quite start there this morning, so don't turn there yet. But interesting, there's that question's in Proverbs. Who can find a virtuous woman? Now, in that context, immediately, it's not talking about a mother necessarily. Who can find a virtuous woman? This would be for any of our ladies, young ladies, single ladies, wives without children, mothers. Who can find a virtuous woman? Interesting enough, earlier in Proverbs it says, but a faithful man who can find? Two interesting questions in the book of Proverbs. Perhaps that'd be for a Father's Day. But a faithful man. That's not talking about faithful and you faithfully go to work, you faithfully put in a hard day's work. We're talking about faithful as defined by the Scriptures biblically, just like virtuous.
There's things that are very rare today. One, and have been rare, not just today, a virtuous woman defined biblically and a faithful man defined biblically. Wow. Lots of ladies, lots of women, but a virtuous woman, who can find her? Or a virtuous mother. Lots of men, but a faithful man, faithful to the things of God, faithful to the principle of who can find them. Very rare indeed in Proverbs mentions. I like to preach this morning on the title, The Value of a Godly Mother. The Value of a Godly Mother. But I want to address all of our females, I'll put it that way. Because the principles that are found here in the Bible with mothers apply to ladies, young ladies. So whether you're a lady, a wife, a mother, whatever area you're at in this stage in life, I want you to know right off the front, from myself, from the Word of God, and from this church, that you are valuable. We're looking at the ladies today. We're looking at the women. We're looking at the mothers. You are valuable. You are important. You are needed. You are indispensable. No doubt you probably beat yourself up. Sometimes ladies or moms, you might even wonder, I don't even know if I'm doing a good job. Maybe on Mother's Day you're told you do, but you don't believe it. Like, I don't know if I'm doing any good. It doesn't seem like I'm doing a whole lot. It seems like I mess up more than I'm. I don't know if it made much of an impact. I don't really know if what I'm doing is even, and you may wonder, maybe you compare yourself with social media, which is a dagger. We just scroll endlessly for what all these other ladies are doing, or at least they're telling you they're doing. And there's a lot of ladies that do that constantly. And you're using comparisons, or you're comparing with all these others. I've got to do this, I've got to do this. And you feel not very valuable. But I don't know, according to the Bible, that you are very valuable. You are very needed. You're very important. You're indispensable. In fact, as was sung in that song, you're the keeper of the home. It's true in the Bible that the man, the husband, the father, is the head of the home. God has decreed that. It's also true that the wife, the mother, is the heart of the home. Dads, men, you are the ones that should set the direction. You're the direction center. You stand before God. Who can find a faithful man in that area? You're the one that says we're going to church or not. You're the one that says it's family devotion time. You're the one that says we're going to pray. You're the one, Dad, that says, turn that off. That's a garbage show. We're not watching it anymore. You're the one that determines that. Dad, you're the head of the home. You set the direction of the home, but the mom comes behind, and she oftentimes is the one that then instigates that. For many men, we're going to church today. That means I'm going to eat, put on my suit, and go in the car and honk the horn. Let's go. And the mom's like, breakfast, kids is getting ready, Bible, all right. Hey, Dad, you set the direction. But Mom, a lot of times you're left like, okay, we're going to get them all here. Easier said than done, all right. And both are important, both are vital, but today we're looking at that special role of a godly mother. Again, value of a godly mother. All humans are valuable because God said so. But extremely valuable is a mother and a godly mother, and that's very important. Now, there's a lot of reasons you're valuable. We're going to look really at one main primary. But the number one reason is because that's how God designed it. God created you. God designed you. And you are completely distinct from man. I'd like you to turn to that first book of the Bible just briefly. We'll be in Proverbs primarily, but turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, just by way of a foundation here. By way of foundation, Genesis chapter 1. Despite what is taught predominantly today, it's nothing new under the sun, all right? What's being taught or at least pushed in agendas from others, it's not brand new today, but when we look at whatever you want to talk about, gender and roles, we know what the Bible says. I hope we believe it. I hope we understand it. You're valuable because God has made mankind valuable. God did create all things, but mankind, humanity is not animals. Animals have value, but they're not as valuable as a human life or human soul. God's Word clearly tells us that, all right? Genesis 1, 27, take a look at it. Genesis 1, 27. So God created man in His own image. That's valuable right there. No animal was created in the image of God. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God took great delight in creating humanity, mankind. The crown jewel of his creation was created at the very end. The most valuable, the most precious, the most incredible of all his creations. Trees and plants and oceans and waterfalls and stars and moons and galaxies and all the variety of animals and fish and fowl. Whoa, those are all awesome. But the greatest was God delighting in creating man and woman. In the very image of God created he them. Notice, ladies, you were created female. God designed that. Let's go a little farther. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Take a look at verse 18. Genesis 2:18. Now, Genesis 1 gives you the overview of creation. Genesis 2 comes back and gives some specific detail. So in Genesis 2, verse 18, and the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man, Adam, should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." Genesis 1:27 is the summary of creation of man, female. Genesis 2 gives a little more detail. He had created man first. He put man in the garden. Adam was in the garden. Adam had jobs to do. Adam named the animals, but there was no companion for him. Every animal that came to him came in pairs, probably, of male and female, male and female, male and female, but there was no companion, helpmeet for Adam. And God said, "It's not good that the man should be alone. I will make or create and help meet a completer for him." Wow. God didn't just make two distinct genders, male and female. He made out of the female. Here is specifically a woman, a wife for Adam. God designed gender. God designed marriage. God's the one that designed. He's the one that first came up with husband, wife. Man, woman. God's the one that came up with those words and those definitions. And what does the Bible say in verse number 22? "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man." First marriage right here. Just like the father. You know, and just, oh boy, what, 19 days? Father here is walking down daughter, all right, in the yard in our house. And he's going to be saying, "I'm her parental responsibility. I'm the man in her life, but not much longer." All right. Now, I'm always going to be dad, but I'm transferring that now. And here, God, the Father, institutes the first marriage ceremony and brings the woman to Adam for marriage. God designed all of that. Not only is the lady woman valuable because God made male female, because he designed the helpmeet completer, he came up with the word wife for the marriage. Take a look at Genesis 3:15. Wow, ladies. Wow, this, what an incredible privilege. Man sinned in the garden. Specifically, Adam, because the woman, it says, was deceived. Adam was the head. Adam was responsible. The woman was deceived. Adam knew exactly what he was doing. And yet when God gave the remedy in Genesis 3:15, he said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, the woman's seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." We've looked at this verse. I know it can seem vague, but as Scripture interprets Scripture, God said that the Redeemer, the promised Redeemer that will redeem man from sin, is going to come from a woman. God designed that. He designed the female body, the womb. A miracle, not a miracle of random chance. The womb created by God specifically in the woman to carry children, to reproduce and populate the earth and fill it with children whom God loves that are a blessing from God. But he specifically designed that the Redeemer would be born of a woman, carried by a woman, raised by a dad and mom in the home, Jesus Christ, before he went to the cross. What a privilege for women. We know that fell on Mary, that young lady, that Jewish girl from Nazareth. Wow. One more, ladies. Genesis 4, verse 1, before we move to Proverbs. You are valuable. You are important. Why? Because God said it. If God said it, it doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. Doesn't even matter what you think. The Word of God lets you know that you are unique, indispensable, important, and valuable. And God has a plan for you, moms, for your life. Genesis 4:1, we have the first mother. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, that would be physically husband and wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man or a man-child from the Lord. We're not given much information anymore about Eve, the first wife, the first woman, the first mother. Wow. But hey, she bore the first child, and she didn't have anything really to go on, did she? And yet you see here, God's, and we see the beginning of what we would call motherhood. And I love that baby's cry. That was good timing there, all right? I hope we'll hear more of those. Those are good. Those are just amens. They don't bother me, all right? And so those are good. That's a good sign there, all right? Hey, no one can do, ladies, what you can do or what you are able to do if you do it God's way. No one can do, Mom. God designed you to be that role, and that's an important role. You know, Proverbs talks a lot about that. If you go through Proverbs, a lot of times we only look at Proverbs 31. All right, but if you want to go back and you start in chapter 11, it talks about the gracious woman. Or it'll talk about the fair woman, or just a lady that just puts the overemphasis only on the beauty or the outward. In Proverbs 12:4, it talks about the virtuous woman again, the first time. It says the virtuous woman is a crown unto her husband. In Proverbs 14:1, it talks about a wise woman. That's a great study, both personally or if you have daughters or a Bible study. Go through Proverbs and look at all the descriptions. The strange woman is earlier in the chapter. That's talking about a lost lady. That's talking about someone that the things of God are strange to her. It's not talking about mentally or that person's weird. It's talking about that's a person who the things of God, the principles of God, the principles that God teaches, it's strange. All right? It's foreign. It's alien. It has nothing to do with the things of God. All right, so Proverbs talks a lot about the area of a lady or a woman, and the virtuous woman is one we're very familiar with. I would just ask you this as we begin, ladies. We're going to be in Proverbs 31. What word best describes you as a woman? I don't mean that jokingly or say a quick answer there. If the Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman, her price or her value is far above rubies. Now, rubies are fairly rare as well. Other than going to a jewelry store, when's the last time you found one? When's the last time you stumbled upon a diamond in your backyard? When's the last time you just were out looking for stuff? Well, they're pretty rare themselves, and they're pretty expensive, and you can only get them in certain places. But the Bible says there's something even rarer than precious jewels, which we a lot of times like to have and sometimes show wealth or importance. Who can find a virtuous woman? Rare indeed. And so let's turn to Proverbs 31 if you're not there already. Proverbs 31. As far as I know, I have not preached out of Proverbs 31 in the 3.5 years I've been the pastor here at IBC. Sure, I've read some verses out of it. I've made some references, but I've not preached out of it on any Mother's Day or anything with ladies or the family that I know of. All right? I could be wrong on that, and if you take great notes, you can correct me later. All right? But what word would best describe you? Would you be a gracious woman? Would someone say, oh, you're a compassionate woman? You're a beautiful woman. You're a funny woman. You're dominating. You're a domineering woman. You're a stubborn woman. You're a gossiping woman. I mean, there's a lot of different words that you could be known for. What best describes you from those who know you best? Hopefully the word is going to be, or you will attain to, a virtuous woman. Proverbs 31, you should be there by now. And we said simply by creation and the distinct role that God has given you as a female, as a lady, as a woman, as a mother perhaps, that itself is rare and valuable. That alone makes you worthy, but yet there's a way that you can become even more valuable than that, and that would be Proverbs 31:10. Not just being born a female that God made, not just growing up and being a wife, maybe, for some, not just having children. That itself is wonderful. There's even something more valuable, and that's verse 10 of Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous woman for her price? The word price means value. Doesn't mean it can be bought. Her price, her worth, her value is far above rubies. Now, the word virtue there sometimes throws us off today. We don't use that a whole lot. We like to say something like, maybe, you know, book of virtues. There was a book out, some of you may have in your book, you know, book, children's book of virtues, children's stories that teach what? Character traits. All right, character traits. You remember that book? We read it a lot, all right? Used to read as kids. All right, oh, I like that story. That one teaches honesty, or this one teaches work ethic, or this story teaches whatever, all right? Book of virtues. That's not a word we use a lot today, but has an idea of summarizing character qualities, all right? The virtuous woman, the word virtue there has the idea of not just moral purity, as the word of purity in every area of life, certainly morally, you're chaste physically, as the idea of pure, righteous, upright, honorable. It's a righteous, godly woman of high biblical character, very rare indeed, the Bible saying. Take all the women in the world, put them on a stage, I don't know, 4 billion. Say, let's only leave the ones up here that we, as society says, is beautiful. And we have our little list of what we think is beauty or what it looks like, and we eliminate a whole bunch. Wow. Hey, lots of those. Physically attractive. Wow. Based on what the world says or Hollywood or a magazine says, that's beauty. All right, well, let's see if we can find ones that are morally pure. How many are still left? Both before marriage and during marriage. Let's keep narrowing that down. How many just are nice or kind? And again, depends who defines those. We use the Bible. How about those who are honest, hardworking? How about those who have compassion, merciful? How about those, again, and it gets smaller and smaller. What about virtuous? That virtue is taking all those character qualities, chaste, pure, righteous, upright, compassionate, honorable, righteous, godly, of what God defines. Whoa, who can find a virtuous woman or a virtuous mother? Her value is far above precious gems. Now, I want to mention this. This may seem silly, but I remember having a discussion with teenagers years ago, being a youth pastor, or seeing these upstart teenagers walk around, and maybe a guy says, I'm a man. Or a young lady, I'm a woman, all right? You're not a man, you're a boy, I'm a woman. You know, so I remember one time we had a Bible class discussion on that, all right? I said, all right, let's just define some terms, all right? So you already know all this, but I'm going to do it for you anyways. Male, female is your gender that you were given by God. Male, female, there's no other. It's male, female. There's two. We looked at it in the scripture. God designed that. You were created male or female. Now, a girl or a boy, that simply means either a young male or a young female. The male, female never changes. That's how God made you. That's how God designed you. That's your role. That's distinct. Now, a boy, you're a boy. You know, maybe we take that as an insult. You're just a boy. You're acting like a boy. Or you're acting like a little girl, all right? A boy or girl is defined as a young male or female. Now, woman and man, which has been stolen by the world today. Oh, you're a woman. Look at that woman. Oh, you're a man, all right? Stuff like, well, a guy, you can shave now. You're a man, son. Or, hey, you know, you can spit. You're a man, son. You're tough, man. No, no, that's not what man and woman means. A man, woman simply means an adult female or male. That's all that means. You go from a boy and a girl, which would be young, puberty, okay, to where, okay, now you may be, because of age or certain characteristics, you're now a woman, you're now a man, you are more what would be considered an adult male or female. But there's one more character trait that we often don't talk about today, and that's this: you're a lady, you're a gentleman. Now, see, that's not even really used much in America anymore, all right? Now that's a lady. We're not talking about physical attractive. Now, that's a gentleman. All right? And you say, well, what's the difference there? That has to do specifically with character qualities. Virtuous woman. Hey, now that's a lady. Oh, yeah, she's a female. Okay, yeah, she's a woman. She's an adult. But doesn't make you a lady, although we may just use those interchangeably in today's society. The lady means there's character qualities about that woman, which should be from the Bible, that you, wow, now that's a lady. She is polite and kind and gracious and gentle, loving, but yet strong, all wrapped into one. Now that's a lady. Now that's a gentleman. Oh, he can be a man, but what about a gentleman? That's a gentleman. That means there are character qualities about you that, may, you're not a wimp, you're a gentleman. There are things about you that our character qualities rolled in one. So when we look at the word virtuous here, that's what we're talking about. Who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies. We'll just look very quickly at three valued areas of a godly woman that can make you even more valuable. And I'll do this in honor of Morris Glaser. I'll have it everything match like he does alliteration, all right? He got me challenged. It'll last 1 week, all right? Because I don't usually do alliteration. But he had all his stuff alliterated. He's a good evangelist, all right? So let's just examine three valued areas of a godly woman that can make you even more valuable. And these aren't anything that you've never heard before, but I just want to focus on them for a few minutes. Number one, let's look at her priorities. A mother's priorities. And we're looking at specifically on Mother's Day, but again, just any of our ladies, any of our females, any of our young ladies, our girls, any of our whatever. You can have any of these or pursue these, as the Bible says. What about a mother's priorities or woman's priorities? Well, what does Proverbs 31 say? Verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies? Now, that's a great verse, but let's drop down to the end. What makes a virtuous woman virtuous? What makes her rare? Verse 30 is what it is. Favor is deceitful. All right? We know what deceitful. Deceitful is when something's not true. It's deceptive. We think one thing, but we were wrong. So favor, the word favor here has the idea of more, it's not focusing on the outward. It has the idea of more of, not necessarily value, it's a little bit different wording. It has the idea of what they're known for, or maybe they have a position, or maybe because you were to marry a woman, maybe there's some things that are to advantage. Could be an inheritance, could be money, it could be fame, it could be who they know, the things that they can bring. Favor is deceitful. Not going to be what you think. And beauty, physical beauty, outward beauty, which is okay, a great thing, it's vain. It means it's fleeting. The two things that the world always emphasizes on movies and Hollywood and magazines and bombard the girls and billboards and everywhere you go is this is what you should look like. This is what you should do. This is what the world says is important. This is what makes you great. The Bible says that favor is deceitful and beauty is fleeting and vain. All you need to do is look at the Bible and all the examples from Hollywood. When in our eyes, an attractive, handsome man marries a beautiful, stunning woman, and we say, that should be a wonderful marriage forever. Woo-hoo-hoo. And you're like, I mean, that's the most beautiful, gorgeous model I've ever seen. And that guy, man, he's a hunk. Oh, I mean, that should be a marriage. Man. You know, 1 week later, 2 days later, 6 months later. I mean, not every one of them, but you're like, whoa. Well, there's got to be more than that. Exactly. Beauty is fleeting. Ladies, do you still look like you do when you were married? How about that graduation picture? How about those teenagers? How about it, guys? We still look the same. You're like, all right, I don't know. Doesn't mean you're not beautiful, but what we value maybe back when we were younger, beauty is fleeting. We understand that. Favor is deceitful, but the Bible says in verse 30, but a woman, a young woman, a teenage girl, a mother, a wife, a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. There you have the foundation for a virtuous woman right there. There may be ladies that are not, hey look, many of you may have a mother that's not saved, or you would say as far as I know, or she may be passed away. You might say, she was a good mom. Not everybody, I understand that. Not everybody, but she was a loving mom. She was a gracious mom. She sure cared about us. She worked hard, things like that. But they may not even have known the Lord for whatever reason. That doesn't mean that they didn't have good character qualities. It doesn't mean that they didn't instill those things within you. It doesn't mean they didn't do the best they can in what we would say is a mother. But we're looking at here the most valuable of all mothers in God's eyes is the virtuous mother, the virtuous woman. And what are her priorities? Well, her first priority is she's saved. She has a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. She fears the Lord. She has a relationship with the Lord. She is a saved mother. Ladies, if you're here today and you're not saved, you can only offer so much as a mother. You can be sweet and kind and loving, but you're not going to be able to give your children everything that you could give if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're going to be operating as a lost person in your own mind, doing the best that you can based on what you think and how you were raised without the Lord. The most valuable, the most rare is a virtuous woman whose priorities are, she fears the Lord. The idea there is she knows the Lord. She sees what the Bible says and believes it. She's entered into a relationship with Christ. She's trusted Christ. She's a sinner. She needs the Lord Jesus Christ, and she fears the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs says. It's the beginning of understanding. It's the very start of it. And so at a certain age, young or old, right now, today, she trust the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. Admit she needs Christ. That's a woman that fears the Lord. She shall be praised. But under her priorities, it's not just the Lord. Second would be her husband. Look at Proverbs 31:11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Now, I realize not everybody in here has a husband. Not everybody that has children may have a husband in the home. There's divorces, things like that happen. There's deaths, there's widows. There's some that are married, may not have a saved spouse. We understand those things. But the Bible says that a virtuous woman is rare and valuable, and the heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Notice there's three times it talks about this. Look at verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Notice verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. I understand you may not be in an ideal situation right now. It may be a difficult time. If you're saved, ladies, trust the Lord. Fear the Lord. Take those matters to the Lord. Cling to Him. No one ever cared for you like Jesus. Have courage. Have faith. Surround yourself with others who can pray and encourage you. Trust the Lord to do a work there. Who can find a virtuous woman? First is her relationship with the Lord. Nothing else can overtake that. Now, there's always going to be things trying to. Ladies, the children, the husband, your job, ministry at church, all the pressures are going to try to overtake the Lord as first. And you have to work hard at keeping the Lord Jesus Christ first in all that you do. Secondly would be your husband. Third would be your children. Please notice I didn't say family came after Christ. The family never comes after Christ. The spouse does, biblically. The spouse. Never in the Bible does God ever put the children above the husband or wife. The husband-wife relationship is a permanent one that ends only at death in God's eyes. It's a permanent covenant. The children are not. They're valuable, they're important, but they are being trained to leave home one day, to leave and to cleave and to start their own families. That's not, now it's permanent that they'll always be your children and you'll always be their parents, but they are not to always be in the home. Therefore, your priority after the Lord should always be the husband or the wife. When a lot of marriages, the children have risen up. Not only are they first, or if God's first, they're above the spouse. And everything's poured into them and their life and their happiness and all their well-being and all the things you think they need to do as a kid and their resumes and their life and their blah, blah, blah. And the marriage just, all it's spent is husband and wife completely worn out into the kids. And then when the kids leave home, the husband and wife have no real relationship. They don't know what to do. A lot of divorces, you see that. You're like, I can't believe they got divorced after 25 years. What happened? That's crazy. The kids are gone. They have no connection. There's nothing really there. Either the kids were always first. They're running around, getting exhausted at every soccer game, every art class, every... That doesn't mean those things don't have some importance, but boy, they're not that important in the scheme of things. Keep the Lord first. Keep the marriage special on fire. The children, they'll be fine, all right? The kids come third. Some would say, I don't like that, but that's biblical, all right? Look at verse 15 of Proverbs 31. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to the maidens. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. And we looked at verse 29, her many daughters have done virtuously with that. Hey, yes, a lot of what the mother does is the keeper of the home, is the children, the schooling and the clothing and the food and the laundry and all the things that take up so much of the time, and it's not easy to balance the Lord first. Or the husband, or husband's the wife, and to keep those things important, and for the kids to know that.
Well, I wish they were not that important.
You remember the old days, don't you? When a lot of parenting, even unbelievers, just parented from the Bible. When you have an adult function, and the kids come in, right? And they're, what do they say? Go mind your place, right? Be seen and not heard. Sometimes we get mad about stuff like that today. Go outside. You'll be fine. Go play with twigs and trees and make forts, all right? And you know what? kids can figure it out. They can figure it out. Today, though, a lot of times, first importance to the kids. They run in, they rush in, they interrupt, that everything runs around the children. All right, exhausted parents, moms that are stressed and frustrated, dads that are, you know, check your priorities. Now, our children ought to know that we love them, and they're special, and they're important, and they're God's gift, and there's no one like them, but they're not first. People get upset about that. They're not first. We want to teach them the ways of God. We want to train them. They're unique. They're special. We pray for God's blessing, but they're not first. They're not even really second. They come after that, the Bible. And by the way, that's healthy children, too. That's God-fearing children. That's children that'll honor the Lord one day. We pray and teach and train. What comes after the husband and the children? Well, that would be everything else. You can debate the order. Some would say church. Maybe I don't know where you would put church. A lot of people put that way down. The church, your church family, the body of Christ. Maybe you say the job comes before that if you work a job. Maybe you say all the other things and the hobbies and all those other things. Those have an importance and a place, but they should not be above the others. Notice, though, one other thing about the priority of the valuable, godly woman here. It's an interesting verse. We often jump over it. Look at verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. That's not talking about anybody in the family. That's not the family. That's others. Interesting. She's not so primarily focused only on her home and her family that she forgets about, maybe we could say, I guess the Old Testament, so no church. Her church family, the needs of others that have needs, people that may not know Christ. This is why they're rare. Almost every mother will pour herself into her kids. Hopefully, you'll pour yourself into your spouse. And maybe even your church. But rare is the virtuous woman who's focused also on the poor and the needy and the others who have needs. And that she is working. You say, I don't have time for any of that. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. She reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She meets the needs of her household, which could in those days have been servants and others. She's not just consumed with her and her lifestyle. She's wow, whoa, yeah, exactly. Rare, above rubies. Number one, her priorities. Number two, let's look very quickly at her prayers. This is not really in Proverbs 31, but we can certainly see it throughout the Scriptures. A mother's prayers are vitally important. You saw the two quotes. I hope you read the quotes that are in your bulletins. They're there for a reason. They're not just picked at random. The computer does not generate those. Abraham Lincoln, I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. Children, let me ask any of the kids in here, do you remember your mother's prayers? Now, maybe not. You say, my mom never prayed over us. No idea. Charles Spurgeon, the power of a mother's prayers with all her children kneeling around her is far greater than any public ministry. Hey, a godly wife, a valuable mother, has a prayer life. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Man, just a generic term for a person. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, a righteous woman, a righteous husband, a righteous mother, a righteous teenager avails much with God. Now, mothers, that's not easy to do. You've got to have personal, daily, private prayer time between you and the Lord, and you have to have public prayer. Your kids need to hear mom pray. Now, we're not preaching to dads today. They need to hear dad pray. But you've got to have it. And I'll tell you what, you're probably going to have to get in, moms, before everybody's up, if you know what it's like. You're going to have personal time with God. At the end of the day, you're probably exhausted. You're going to fall asleep. Your intentions may be good. You might think, I can't get up in here. No, God can sustain you. All right, but you might say, I've got to have time with the Lord. God, this is an impossible task. I don't have this little one. These little ones, I don't know what to do. These teenagers. Help, Lord. Exactly. Lord, I need you. I cannot do it without you. I don't know what I'm doing. Lord, I need some wisdom today. Lord, our son will not listen. Our daughter is full of, Lord, you've got to have prayer time. You've got to pray. It's got to be personal. It's got to be private. My wife is far closer to the Lord than I am. She puts me to shame. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Clockwork. I know where she's at in the morning. I know how long she's there. And I know you say, well, you don't have the little kids anymore. She's there with the Bible. She's there with her journal. She's doing that on her own. She's reading and she's studying. And that's why she's a lot sweeter and nicer than me, all right? She's faithful. She's a godly mother. She's not perfect, all right? But you better have public prayer. Your kids need to hear you pray, Mom. Your dad, the husband may be working a lot. You need to be praying with them. They need to hear Mom praying. Pray before school. Pray before a meal. Pray before work if your children are working. Pray before you go to church. Pray before you go to youth group. Oh, God, do a work. I mean, they need to hear you praying. God, do a work in my teenager's life tonight. Help Brother Shane as he preaches. You're on the way. I mean, they need to hear that. They need to hear you praying at the family altar. Need to hear you praying before bedtime. Need to hear you singing and going there and kneeling back. They need to hear it as they're falling asleep. Oh, God, keep my son from wickedness. Oh, God, help them never to walk astray or compromise. Oh, God, help them love the Lord. Oh, God, I mean, they need to hear that. That'll impact them. Specific prayers, passionate prayers. You need to pray for them after they leave home. Many of you do. Oh, God, keep them from sin. Oh, God, get a hold of their heart. Oh, God, we haven't. I mean, they're still your children. You pray for them. Pray for your grandchildren. It's a valuable ministry that takes a lot of time and effort, and it's hard to do. It definitely would make you a valuable, rare person. When the kids are out of the home, it's not time. Go, we can finally do what we want to do. Oh, God, I don't know where they're at or what they're doing, or maybe I do know where they're at, and I know what they're doing. God, I bet you love them more than me. God, you gave them. They're not mine anyways. They're your gift. God, you can get a hold of them. I believe the Bible when it says the heart of the king is in your hand. That means the heart of my child's in your hand. God, you can get a hold of their heart though it seems cold. God, you can bring them back. I'm trusting you. Pray for them. Pray out loud. Pray privately. Don't quit. Don't give up, moms. Those are valuable prayers, number three, and we're done. Not only a mother's priorities, not only a mother's prayers, but let's finish with a mother's proclamations. There, I got to get my P in there for Morris Gleiser. Proclamations. You know the part of Proverbs 31 that's rarely ever read is the first 9 verses. Look at that first verse. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy. Now that word prophecy throws a lot of people off. This mother was not a prophet. She's not foretelling anything. That word prophecy just means to proclaim. It's a proclamation. It's some truths that she taught him. The words of King Lemuel, the proclamation or prophecies or truths that his mother taught him. What, my son? And what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows? What does that mean? Does that mean, oh God, I prayed for this child. He's your child. You gave him to me. I promise him that he's yours all the days of your life. I don't know, but I made some vows. Before we finish, and I must be done, King Lemuel was believed to be King Solomon. Just a nickname from mother, the mother Bathsheba. There's no King Lemuel ever mentioned in the Bible. We have every record of every Israel king. This is none of those. This is likely King Solomon, right? His mother Bathsheba. That was probably her pet name. It means very similar to Jedediah, which God named Solomon, beloved. This are likely the words, the teachings of my mother that she taught me. We have no time to go into this, but boy, she does some teaching, son. Look at it, verse 3. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine. We could put in, it's not for any believer to drink wine or strong drink or alcohol in any way. Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Boy, you could read down through there, verse 8 and 9. Open thy mouth for the dumb. The dumb doesn't mean dumb, retarded people there. For people who can't speak for themselves. Son, I poured this into you. Son, oh son, stay away from these things. I know what happened to your... I know the weaknesses of David. I know the leanings of what happens when you're in power position. We already know what happened with Solomon. Son, these are things that are going to ruin you. Moms, do you talk to your children about those kind of things? Hey, moms need to love, and they need to hug, and they need to kiss, and they're the chief encourager, and you need to push them on for the Lord, but there needs to be warnings. These things will ruin you. These things will destroy you. You need to, mom's talking to you. And she pleads with him, verses 8 and 9, speak, son, open your mouth if you're in a position to do so. If God puts you in that position of leadership, then open your mouth and speak up for those who are needy. Speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. Be just, verse 9, judge righteously. Plead the cause of the poor and needy. Think of others. Look out for those you have the opportunity, you have the money, the means, the power to help other people. Speak up for them. Speak up for injustice. Be a righteous judge. Stand for the things of God. Boy, the teachings that my mother taught me. The proclamations, the words of truth and decrees. Proverbs talks about, forsake not the law of thy mother. Right? You remember Dr. Griffith preached on that. Marriage and Family Conference. Seems like a couple years ago, but that was back in March. There's a difference between the law of the mother and the commandments of the father. Mom's got some decrees. She's got some laws. She's got some teachings. We need to heed those. We need to learn those. Our time is up. Who can find a virtuous woman? Maybe you say, I found one. Praise God. Maybe you say, I'm praying for one. Praise the Lord. You're valuable, ladies. You're valuable, girls. You're valuable, females, because God made you valuable. You're even more valuable if you're virtuous and you pursue that with God's help. God may have given you children. He may not. Doesn't make you any less valuable. It just makes you more responsible. You're not more valuable because you have a bunch of children and someone doesn't. You're not more valuable necessarily because you're married and someone's not. You have more opportunity perhaps in some areas, but if not, you have lots of opportunity to live for the Lord. Pour yourself in the Lord and the things of God. That's your responsibility. That's your passions and things. But if you're able with your priorities, your prayers, and your proclamations to do the things that God says, then the Bible says you are indeed a virtuous woman, far above rubies. And how does the Bible end there? Verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let her own works praise her in the gates. Your works done for the Lord, not to be seen, will be the fruit of your labor. God recognizes it. Your children and others will recognize it. That is all you need. Who can find that virtuous woman? Ladies, I want to encourage you. You can do something no one else can do. No one else can do it because God made you that way. You have a specific, distinct, special role that God designed you to do. And no one else can do it. You may be in a tough area. You may be a single mom. You might be in a home that's just, you may be holding on for your dear life. Let's remember that song, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. You have a friend that cares. God's right here. You can do it. You need to have faith. You need to believe. You need to have a relationship with Him. You need to pray. You need to pursue the Word of God. You have some kids that are just, oh my goodness, don't give up. Don't quit. Take them to the Lord. Take them to the Scriptures. Do the right thing. Keep on going. I hope you have a wonderful Mother's Day. I'm grateful for my mother still living. Many of your mothers are not. I'm grateful for my wife, a godly wife, godly mother. I'm grateful for you that are walking with the Lord. May this be a church full of virtuous women for the glory of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you today on this Mother's Day. Lord, you know the heart of each person here. Lord, many have a mother who has passed away years ago maybe. Some may not have fond memories of a mother. They may not have been a believer. They may have been just lost, Lord, living as all they knew. Maybe the way they were raised. They may have had an alcoholic mother. They may have had an angry mother. They may have had a distant mother. I don't know, Lord. But I know one thing. They don't have to be that way. Every woman, every lady today can break that chain. They can be a saved mother. They can be a kind mother. They can be a gracious mother. They can be a virtuous mother. They can be what perhaps their mother was not. Lord, I pray every lady here today, every man knows Christ as Savior. I pray, Lord, that we would not quit or give up, beat ourselves up. Lord, if we failed, let us confess it and start anew. Lord, if there's areas that we've let slip, let us just confess it and start today again. Lord, let us not look necessarily at the quick results, but Lord, may we do things God's way. I thank you for the women, the ladies in this church. I thank you for those who've gone before us, maybe those that are watching that cannot be here because of age or because of health. And Lord, their ministry is praying. Oh God, they pray. And Lord, it's because of their prayers that you've kept this church where it needs to be, or you've kept a family or a son or a daughter afloat because of the prayers of a shut-in, an older man, an older lady who we don't even see. Lord, we thank you for your word. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We'll not have a formal invitation, but we'll just have maybe a stanza. Just one stanza of a hymn, then we're going to transition to the Lord's Supper. As the music begins to play, though, yes, the message was for mothers and for ladies, but the truth can be applied to everybody. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here today and your greatest need is Jesus Christ, why don't you come to Him today? Don't try to parent without the Lord. Don't try to raise children without the Lord. You're not going to succeed. Don't try to work without the Lord. Don't try to do anything without Christ. Why don't you trust Him today and say right there as you sit, "Oh Lord Jesus, I need You. I'm going through life alone and by myself. I need a great friend, and You can be my friend. I know that I'm a sinner. I need You, Lord Jesus Christ." Would You call upon Him today to save you from your sins? Turn from your way to Him and say, "I believe that You love me. I believe that You died for me. I believe You'll be my greatest friend, and I call upon You today, and I believe. Oh, save me, Lord Jesus." Maybe you're here today and you're just battling depression, discouragement, failure. Don't think you mattered much. Maybe you were saved later in life after the kids were gone. You say, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe I raised them. I didn't know any better." God understands that. God forgives. Don't let that stop you, ladies. Press on. God has a ministry here. You can influence the children of this church, your neighborhood. Bring them to Christ, your grandchildren, others. Don't give in. Don't quit. If God spoke to your heart, get those things settled today. Be determined to pursue Christ, to be a virtuous woman, for His honor, for His glory. Give it to Him who can find a virtuous woman. Her price is far above rubies. Father, we love You. We thank You. Encourage our ladies today. Encourage our mothers. Encourage our grandmothers. Encourage our wives and children. Oh Lord, raise up, Lord, a giant group of virtuous women for the glory of the Lord, to influence their homes, their families, this church, their workplace for the glory of the Lord. Lord, we're so grateful that You designed male, female, husband, wife, mothers, fathers, the home, and the children. Oh God, may we do it Your way. Help us to trust and obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.